produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This radio program is produced by Caleb Padgett on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
Greetings, everyone. You are listening to United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Pastor Tandwe Nyoni from Johannesburg, South Africa. And the name of our program is called Unede One Ndizanati. This show is produced by Caleb Padgett. And welcome to the broadcast today. Day that the Lord has made, we will worship Him. We will praise Him. A day that the Lord has made, then we worship Him and are glad in it. Sanbonani bazalwane, good day, good afternoon, good. It's a good day. It's a good day. It's a day that the Lord has made. I don't know about you. It's been one of those days, a quiet day, and it's a day when you are reflecting on who you are and who God is in your life. And if you were to go back and think about the topic that, or the theme that we're talking about this month, or this series of servanthood, it really resonates with who God is, because we were servants. Jesus Christ came on this earth and became a servant. Uwehle wa uNkulunkulu waba umuntu wamseva umuntu. Then we're still in psyche, because right now he's seated in heavenly places and mediating and enthroned. And we are standazela. But he's God. So coming to think about what we are talking about, servanthood. Where are you when, as a human being, in terms of being served or serving? You know, this week or the past 2 weeks, the scripture that has been coming into my spirit was Zechariah 3. Zechariah 3, it's one of those chapters in the Bible whereby I've read them before, and I've always wondered what was really happening here, you know. What was really happening here? Okay, let me just read the scripture. I use a character from verse 1 to verse 10? Verse 1 to verse 10. Then we'll talk from there. Then we'll make our conclusion. But as I read it, can I ask you now just to think about it? Remember, I just asked a question. Oguti, where are you as a servant of God, in terms of serving or being served, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? And maybe we can say looking unto Jesus, the very servant of God who came on this earth to save us, who came so that we may have life and have it to its abundance. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for laughter. We thank you for cleanliness. We thank you for the topic of servanthood. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us to serve in this world. For you, Lord, you came on this earth, you delivered, you prayed, you healed the sick, you preached the word, and Lord, in devotion, the matter, you loved us more than we have loved ourselves, or loved you for that matter. As we deliberate on the word tonight and today and this day, may you help us to understand who we are and whose we are, in the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let us read Zechariah chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 10. As I was saying, Guti, this is one of the chapters in the Bible that got me to think, Guti, what is really happening? So let's read from verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing on his right side to accuse him. Ne? The Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. The angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you." Then I said, "Put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. Then the angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. "This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. Listen, High Priest Joshua, you and your associate seated before you, who are men symbolic of things to come, I am going to bring my servant, the branch. See the stone I have set in front of Joshua. There are seven eyes on that one stone, and I will engrave an inscription on it, says the Lord Almighty, and I will remove the sin of this land in a single day. In that day, each of you will invite your neighbor to sit under your vine and fig tree, because it declares the Lord Almighty." Baba, we thank you for the word. As we deliberate, think about it, may we be answered by you. May the word of God permeate in our hearts and enze umsebenzi the way it's supposed to. May it go exactly where it needs to go in our spirits, so that it germinates and produces more fruit. In the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Bazalwan, I have confessed already, which this is one of the scriptures that had got me to think over the years, and in the past 2 weeks it had been in my spirit gakulu. And okay, let's just think together. It then Joshua was standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan is standing next to him. And you wonder, where was Joshua standing? And it also tells you the position on which Joshua, who he is, is a high priest. And a high priest in verse 80, he was in filthy clothes. Filthy clothes, a high priest. The first question I had was, okay, Lord, obviously Joshua was your servant. Yakhumbula sikhuluma nge servant wood, was your servant, meaning ukuthi umgcotshwa kaNkulunkulu, isisebenzi in the house of God. He works in the house of God. But the Bible tells us he was in filthy clothes. Now, it even sounds like a day of judgment, because when you stand in front of an angel, it's almost like you are being judged for your actions. But it's a different kind of judgment, this one, because now as he's standing next to the angel, in front of an angel, then he didn't have to speak. He didn't speak. There's no way la bangizwa khona ukuthi Joshua was speaking, but then the angel of the Lord was the one speaking. What the angel did was to rebuke the devil. Isn't this man snatched from the fire? And obviously, I'm assuming Joshua begese pelelwe. When they say we are in filthy clothes, what is it that comes to mind? Already to me, ngicabanga umuntu ofana nehobo ongena empahla. Ihobo umuntu ongcolile. Would it also mean ukuthi it's sin in our lives? Would it also mean I'm talking about us abagcotshwa, as priests, as servants of God. I'm talking about us, those people who are put in positions of power by God to serve his people. I'm asking this question, ukuthi, would it mean ukuthi singcolile? Let alone outside, would it also mean inside us? It's a question I'm asking myself, and can we think together, bazalwane? So the angel of the Lord here rebukes the devil and says, isn't this man snatched from the fire? I guess that is the first thing where we need God in our lives when we are dating. Ukuthi simcela axoshe uSathane in our lives. What really happened to Joshua for him to be filthy? What really happens to us? Kuze singcole kangaka senzeni? See, you know, I guess mhlambe answers sizoyithola masambe endleleni. Then the Bible also says with the angel gives charge to those standing next to Joshua. Verse 4. The angel asked those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. I wondered who were those people standing next to Joshua. Is it possible they are high priests as well? Is it possible they are also servants of God? Is it possible? Because the first question we have to ask, where is he standing? Is he on earth, or is he in the spirit, or is he in the natural? This is me thinking, Pastor Tando, you're thinking. This is me thinking, Guti, this is in on the humanness, the form of a human being in the house of God. And those standing, I'm assuming, because when you go down there, kuma ngama associates. And you say, I'll give you a seat amongst the what was most interesting, what really touched my heart, continuation of verse 4, mighty, then he said to Joshua, see I have taken away your sin, and I will put dirt garments on you. I think this is the fifth verse. Then I said, put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. Remember when he was standing there filthy, Satan was standing next to him. It had to take the angel to rebuke the devil. But now the angel of God is standing to make sure that Joshua is being dressed anew. Put a new garments on you. It's almost like a position of authority where you are used to, where you were created to be in the very first place. Joshua, high priest, understand this. Ukungcola, it's not your portion. You were never designed ukungcola. It has to take nabantu abaphambwakho to clean you up. For me, this also talks about the mercy. How merciful and how loving the God that we serve. Shoo, bazalwane. Yeah. Normal, I'll just say, ngathi sithi, just think about it. Ibhayibheli lithi sila, pause. Let's just think about that as we continue. Let's zoom in, okay? Let's continue now, bazalwane. Let's zoom in to on verse 6, no, verse 7. Iti, the angel of the Lord gave this charge to Joshua. This is what the Lord Almighty says. If you will walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will give you a place among these standing here. Hallelujah. Amen. I will give you a place among these standing here. I'm imagining an entourage of priests. I'm imagining an entourage of high priests, of authority figures. I can't imagine that. I'm imagining these servants of the Most High God standing before Christ, cleaned in holy garments. And God is saying to Joshua, Buga, ngikubeke kabusha ngakuklina ngakubeka kuposition yakho kodwa ke lalela ke Joshua, if you will walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, asime nje lapho, if you will walk in obedience to me, would it be possible with sometimes in obedience of other things, our needs, obedience of other people's needs, of careers, of journeys, of purposes, zabanye abantu, of the requirement, is it just possible ukuthi we have shifted as human beings, we have shifted as priests, we have shifted as servants of God, sahamba ku obedience kwezinye izinto ezingasifuni, be obedient kwabanye abantu than you are to God. This time God is saying, be obedient to me. How many of us can raise their hands right now and say, 9 out of 10, I'm obedient to Christ. 9 out of, how many of us right now can really raise their hands and say, mina, 90% of the time I'm obedient to Christ. Unkulunkulu la uthi Joshua, if you will walk in obedience to me and keep my requirements, then you will govern my house. It's a condition and it's a requirement. Then you will govern my house. What house, God, are you referring to? Upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell do not prevail. What house are you referring to? The kingdom of God is near. What kind of house are you referring to? Umhlaba ungokaJehova nokugcwala kwawo. Isn't it possible that God is talking about dominance on this earth? Isn't it possible that God is talking about igunya lokuphatha emhlabeni, the rule and the rulership, the authority yokuba khona emhlabeni and influence the world? Isn't it possible? Isn't it just be possible? So in conclusion, bazalwana, before I do the announcement, we get to understand that ekuseveni uNkulunkulu, we need to be obedient to him and him alone. We need to really shine esandleni sakhe. It's never about us, but about him. I'm humbled about the fact that God, even in the state of being filthy, we are cleaner foot at qalise pants. I instructed those before you to put clean clothes on you. Akunikeze a charge. It's almost like a second chance. Can we all walk in obedience, or can we repent of our sins and ask God to help us in the impilo? Some of us, there are deep things esidlule kuzo. Some of them are revealed in prayer as you spend time noNkulunkulu, things that you know not about, which have kept you down or kept you filthy in the inside, ungazi. Some of us, it's that filthy ngaphandle, but most often than not, it's the filth that is inside us. And may God help us to be obedient to him alone. Ngalawa magama abazalwane, I want to say, may God heal us. May God teach us his will and his word. May he be very gracious with us. Because without him, we are nothing. Nalasi kunzima ukuthi simlalele, ngoba at times it's hard for us to follow his instruction. Or the will yomuntu iba stronger, you know. You still want to do you than to do God. So may God really help us in all our infirmities or weaknesses. Help us to will to do his will, you know. Inhliziyo zethu zivume ukuthi senze intando yakhe. Yeah. And in so saying, bazalwane, I would like to make the following announcement about Uncede Prodigy. Remember, the company Unite Prodigy does provide three services: motivation, counseling, strategic planning. In motivation, you can invite us at your place of work, at your church, any place where we come and talk on any topic, biblical topic or general topic, social emotional wellness, psychological topic. We are there. And then we also do counseling or offer counseling services to people when you are hurt, you need somebody to really listen to you, and or then you need strategy in your company or in your business or even in your organization, depending. And our costs are not highly priced, if I have to put it that way. And at times we do negotiate costing. We are based in Soweto, in South Africa. And our email address is ungcede@yahoo.com. Ungcede is UNGCEDE. And the phone number that you can call, or preferably use your WhatsApp, is 0846693615. 0846693615. Then the last announcement is about the motivational wellness sessions that we host each year. This year we'll be hosting three sessions, one in May, one in August, another one in November. It's May 30. 2020, it's August 29, 2020, and it's November 28. It's the last Saturdays of each month for those 3 months, and we bless God for helping us with planning these events. Right now, we are in the process of planning each event. Obviously, the focus is on the 1 year date, 30th is November. And so saying, Bazalwane, I'd like to thank God for being in this broadcast, United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. It's a journey on its own, and it's that will of God in our lives for us to be servants in the kingdom of God, and to serve Him. And for that we really thank Him. I almost forgot. And this is, I normally do this prayer before we do the announcement, but namhlanje I'm out of order, but let me do it nonetheless. For those of you who listened to the word and who happens to not to have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if you have never made a prayer to say, Jesus Christ, come into my heart, make me your child, can I ask you to raise your hand wherever you are, or to just say it right now? Say this prayer together with me right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Make me your child. I believe that you died for me and you were raised from the dead. I say it with my mouth. I believe with my heart that you are my Lord. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for each and every person around the world who has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord, for deliverance. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for laughter. We thank you for peace. Baba, we pray that you guide, protect, and walk with them all the days of their lives. In the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so saying goodbye, ladies and gentlemen, from United Kingdom Radio Network. This is Pastor Thandwe Nyoni saying goodbye to you. Love you and bye-bye.
This radio program was produced by Kayla Paget on United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. It's Pastor Sublime Quanta coming to you. I'm speaking to you on a message I've entitled, The Violent Faith. The Violent Faith. I'm reading from the book of Romans, chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 17 through 20. Verse 17 through 20. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you, before him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls the things that are not as though they were. I wish to pay some attention on this verse. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. Now when you see God saying, I've made you a father of many nations, what is clearly revealing is that what you are to become, I've already made you. So God is not pointing Abraham to the future, but he's pointing Abraham to the past, and he's saying, I have already made you a father of many nations. I want you to understand that when God is saying these words, it is at the time whereby Abraham doesn't have a son at all. But God is saying, I have made you. I want you to understand that whatever God is going to do in your life, he has already done it. He has already done it. You see, there are two sides of the blessing in your life. Number one is the positional blessing, and number two is, I recall, the experiential blessing. Jesus says, when you pray, this is the manner in which you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And then he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is not planning to make you what he has never made you. Whatever God wants to make you, he has already made you. Now, when Jesus says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it means that there is a you in heaven that has already been perfected, that is already walking in the perfect will of God, that is already walking in the perfect victory of the cross of Calvary, that is already walking in the eternal life of heaven. So what you are in heaven must therefore manifest on earth. So when you see the words, I have made you a father of many nations, what is clearly showing us, or the picture he's showing us, is that whatever you believe in God for, God has already made you. God has already made you. God has already made you. I'm saying this three times as a point of emphasis. And I'm saying to you that whatever God is going to do in your life, he has already done it. You see, when you believe in God for healing, I want you to know that he has already made you healed. He has already given you the healing. If you believe in God for a breakthrough, whatever breakthrough it may be, whatever miracle it may be, God has already done it. He will never do anything today that he has not done already in eternity. So God has already made Abraham a father of many nations. And then verse 18 shows us, actually verse 17, while we are on it, the Bible says, who gives life to the dead and calls the things that are not as though they were. No, the Bible says he calls those things that are not as though they were, not as though they are. In other words, once God speaks it, even if it cannot be seen with the optical eyes, God doesn't say it is not. He says it is. Because the Bible says he calls those things which be not as though they were. So he takes it to the past. Because once he says it, it is created. It may not be seen in the physical realm, but it is already made. I want you to understand that the word spoken, it is the life created. The word spoken is the life created. Now, every time God speaks his word carries the ability to create whatever you are to become. So if God says, by my stripes, you are healed, that word carries the power to create that which has been spoken. So you don't have to live with a sickness thinking that if God is willing, he's going to heal me, because God has already spoken in his word by his stripes. You are healed. So you take it like it is already done, and then it manifests in the physical. This is the violent faith that I'm about to show you right now. Verse 18, the Bible says, who in hope believed against hope? In other words, against all hope. The natural hope was saying, Abraham, you can't be a father. And I know that in your life, in your personal life, in your spiritual life, in your family life, in your community, there are natural things, there are natural conditions that are saying to you, you cannot become. They are saying to you, you cannot be blessed. They are saying to you, you cannot be anointed. They are saying to you, you cannot be healed. There are certain things that are speaking into your life, and they are called natural hopes. But even when the natural hope was dead and it was saying it's impossible for Abraham to be a father, God had already spoken. And look at what Abraham does. The Bible says, against all hope, he believed in hope. So he shifted his focus from the natural to the spiritual, because Christ in us is the hope of glory. So when the natural was saying there is no hope for Abraham to be a father, Abraham believed in hope, which is Christ. He believed the word of God. He believed the word of God. So it doesn't matter the condition. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter what could be said to you. You have to stick to what God has said. Because you see, the most beautiful thing about what God says is that once he says it, even if it is not there, it becomes a reality. Once God says something, even if it didn't exist, it will start existing, because God cannot lie. His word is true. His word is final. The Bible says, thy word is the truth. So God cannot speak something and then it doesn't become a reality. Actually, the book of Numbers tells us that our God is not a man that he should lie, neither a son of man that he should repent. You see, when I say to you, you are this, I could be lying, because I'm saying what God didn't say and I'm saying what is not. But you see, when God says it, even if it's not, you believe it because it is. There is no way that God can say something and it doesn't become a reality. So when the natural is saying it cannot be done, you have to shift your focus from that and focus on God. God's word is final. God's word is final. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. So his word is his power. And in that power, there is the ability to make you whatever the word of God says you're going to become. Actually, when you read the book of Genesis chapter 1, you discover that everything God created by his word. So don't run after the hands of the men of God. Run after the word. Let God speak to you. Let God speak to you. Once God speaks to you, his word is true. His word is the final authority. God said, the Bible keeps saying, and God said, and God saw, and God said, and God saw. And I love verse 31, because verse 31 of the book of Genesis chapter 1 says, and God saw that everything he had created, behold, it was very good. So there is nothing God will say that God will not see. And everything God says, he will see, and everything he will see will be very good in your life. So I want you to understand that. Whatever God has spoken, cleave to it and don't let go of it. It will surely come to pass, because your father cannot lie. He cannot lie. So against hope, he believed in hope to the end that he might become a father of many nations. That's in the natural. In the natural, he was going to become what he had been made already in the spiritual realm, according to that which had been spoken. So you are going to become according to the word that has been spoken to you. You're going to become according to the word of God that is being spoken to you. That should tell you If you are not hearing the word, then you are not becoming, because you become according to that which has been spoken to you. So you must hear it. You must hear it. And I want you to understand, there is one thing that can conquer any devil in your life, any harassment of sickness and disease, any harassment of darkness in your life, and that is you hearing the word, because God will perform in your life according to the word he has spoken. So if he didn't say it, he's not going to do it. If you're not hearing it, you are not going to see it. The secret of this thing here is that you need to keep hearing the word, because God is going to perform according to the word spoken into your life. And verse 19, and without being weakened in faith, he was not weak in faith. How do you know that he was not weak in faith? And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. In other words, his body was dead. That was the condition. That was the natural hope. That's what the natural hope was saying. Because the natural hope was now dead. So it was saying to Abraham, your body, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So Sarah's womb was also dead. Two conditions are saying to Abraham, whatever God has said cannot become a reality. Because number one, you are dead. Your body is dead. You are too old to be a father. Number two, Sarah's womb is dead. So she cannot conceive. She doesn't have the ability to carry the seed. Now, this is natural hope saying to Abraham, you cannot be a father. That is why if you want to walk by this faith that I'm talking about, you have to determine in your heart that you are only going to hear what God is saying, not what life is saying to you. Because life will tell you, you cannot become it. Life will tell you, you are barren. Life will tell you, you are sick. Life will tell you, you are weak. Life will tell you, you are nobody. But the word of God cannot tell you that, because God's word is the final authority. So the Bible says, he considered not the deadness of his body. Yes, this is faith versus sight, what you see in verse 19. He considered not the deadness of his own body, nor of Sarah's womb. So faith are saying, Abraham, your body is dead, Sarah's womb is dead. That's what we call facts. But facts are not always the truth. Facts are not always the truth. And as long as it is a fact, it can be changed by the truth. The truth is eternal. That's why Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. He is not a truth, but he is the truth. So that simply means outside him, there is no other truth. There is nobody else that can give you the truth like Jesus, because Jesus himself is the truth. So you need to understand that there will be facts in your life, and the fact that Abraham considered not the deadness of his body nor Sarah's womb doesn't mean that he was living in denial. No. He acknowledged that his body was dead. He acknowledged that Sarah's womb was dead, but he refused to consider it. Now, the word considered here that you find in Romans 4, verse 19, it simply means he refused to pay attention. He refused to believe what nature was saying, the deadness of his body and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He refused to believe it. Though it was so, he refused to pay attention to it. Every time you pay attention to the facts of your life, you should know that you are putting your faith on hold. You are putting your faith inside a box. You are refusing to walk in the power of faith, because faith, simply put, is confidence in the word of God. That which God has spoken, it will surely become a reality. Come facts, come challenges, come attacks, come all the struggles of life. I'm not going to focus on that. I'm focusing on what God has said. And what God has said will surely become a reality in my life. So you focus on what God has said. And now, what you see in verse 19, therefore, is what I call the violent faith. The violent faith doesn't deny the facts. Yes, I have the pain on my leg. I can admit that I have the pain on my leg. But I'm not going to open my mouth and say it. Why? Because God didn't say it. You see, when I say something that God didn't say, I am a liar. I'm not a liar because I don't feel it. I'm a liar because I am saying what God didn't say. So if God didn't say I'm sick, I'm not going to say I'm sick. Even if I feel it, I'm not going to speak what I feel because I don't walk by sight. I don't walk by feelings. I don't walk by what I can taste, what I can hear. I walk by faith. Faith in the word of God. Faith in that which has been spoken. I believe with all my heart that I am becoming what God has said. In spite of the condition in my life, what God has said, I believe that I am becoming it. It doesn't matter what nature is saying. It doesn't matter the condition in my life. But the word of God is my final authority. So I am standing on the word to the end. I'm standing on the word to the end. Wow. Abraham considered not the deadness of his body. I wish to challenge you right now. Please don't consider what you're facing. Don't consider what you've been confronted with. Don't consider your condition. Don't consider your pain. Don't consider your rejections. Don't consider your past failures. Don't consider what you're experiencing right now. Stick to the word. Keep believing the word. Keep standing on the word. Abraham considered not the deadness of his body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. And that's the strength of faith. Faith is simply refusing to put confidence in the conditions of your life, but putting your confidence in God, your Father. Now, verse 20. Yet looking unto the promise of God. So his focus was on what God had spoken. What God has said, I'm going to cling to it. I'm going to run after it. I'm going to pursue it until I see it come to pass. That's the secret of faith. I'm going to focus on that which God has spoken until I see it become a reality. So the Bible says he focused on the promise of God. You know, I'm reminded of the time of Moses when the serpents were biting people. God said to him, make a statue. And everyone should look at the statue. And everyone that will look at the statue, they shall live. They shall look and live. But you see, even right in the midst of the statue that was made by the men of God, people kept on looking at the serpents that were biting them. And I want you to understand that everyone that kept on the serpents that were biting them, they kept on dying. But those that refused to look at the serpents that were biting them, and they put their focus on the statue that was lifted up, they got healed. Are you not understanding that Jesus Christ was hanged on the cross of Calvary just for you? And as long as you're focusing on him, you will keep living. Keep focusing on his word. It is finished. Keep focusing on his word. By my stripes, you are healed. Keep focusing on his word. I took all your curses. Keep focusing on his word. You are strong. Keep focusing on his word. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Keep focusing on his word. I'm above only and not beneath. Keep focusing on his word. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right, but it shall not come near me. Keep focusing on his word. Do I walk through the shadow of the valley of death? I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. So you keep focusing on the word, and you will keep seeing the word become a reality. He focused on the promise of God. Yes, I can see the condition, but what did God say? Yes, I can see the challenge, but what did God say? That's how we live by faith. You stand on the word of God. You stand on the promises of God. He focused on the promise of God. And then the Bible says, he wavered not through unbelief. He was not shaken. He was not shaken. He was not shaken. He wavered not through unbelief. He refused to be shaken by the conditions of life. Most people can't stand in faith anymore because the conditions of life are too hard on them. I wish to tell you, the violent faith never considers the conditions. Yes, it can admit that the conditions are there, but it never considers, it never pays attention to whatever may be coming against you. I believe you're getting something. He looked at the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith. He waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God. His faith was revealed in him giving glory to God. So Abraham kept on saying, I'm the father of many nations. Oh, glory to God. I'm the father of many nations. Oh, glory to God. I'm the father of an Isaac. Oh, glory to God. So in spite of what was happening, he kept on giving glory to God. May I say this to you? According to the words of Bishop Oyedepo, he says, faith, he's defining faith, and he says, faith is being fully persuaded of the truth, the present circumstances notwithstanding, until the truth triumphs. So the truth will always triumph over the facts and over the lies of the enemy. The truth will always triumph. The key word in his definition is the word until. So when you find the word until, you then discover that it doesn't matter the prolonging of days, it doesn't matter how long it will take, it doesn't matter whether God has spoken when I was 75, Abraham, and now I'm 99, but nothing seemed to be happening. I'm standing on the word of God 25 years later, because I know the truth must triumph at the end. So you stand on the truth until it triumphs. It doesn't matter the prolonging of days. It will surely triumph in the end. The Bible says, though it tarries, wait for it, for in the end it shall speak. So the Bible says, cast not away your confidence. Don't let go of your confidence. Refuse to let go of your stand with God because of the conditions of life. Keep standing in God. Keep fighting in faith. Keep pushing. Keep pursuing your dreams. Keep pursuing your destiny. It will surely come to pass in the end. Didn't Abraham become a father? Yes, Abraham became a father. And so shall you become what God has spoken. I challenge you this day, fight the good fight of faith. Keep standing and keep pushing. Keep standing and keep pushing. At the end, your faith will triumph against all the storms of life. I decree and declare, you shall live. I decree and declare, you shall not die but live. According to the word of the Lord, I decree and declare you are blessed. I decree and declare you are anointed to go forward. Stand in that faith. Keep pushing. I am praying for you. And may God's healing power touch you right now. Let every sickness be broken. Let every disease be destroyed. And let power flow right through you. Be healed wherever you are. Be blessed wherever you are. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We love you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, glorious greetings to you in the name of Jesus Christ, all the way from South Africa. This is Benjamin Kutswane with your program, Destined for Glory. And we thank God for Finding My Way Radio family and Finding My Way as a supernatural portal of God's connection to download heaven's intent in the earth at this time. So we thank God that what heaven has conceived shall not be aborted. And we thank God that Finding My Way Radio is one of those channels, like the birth canals of what heaven has conceived. So we proclaim the blessing and we pray the sustaining anointing of the Spirit of God even over the channel. And we support again and salute all the servants of God whom God is using to Finding My Way Radio. We salute you all in the name of Jesus. And to every listener right now, we invite you to join with us as we connect. But God has appointed for all of us in Christ Jesus that in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we will connect the glory we are destined for. So even as we go into our program today, let us pray together. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for yet another day that you made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And even as we come right now, we thank you that you are the God who causes all things to work together for good. And we love you and are called according to your purpose. And Father, we pray for every listener right now. We pray for the revelation of Jesus Christ in their life, so that the life can come to the fulfillment of your prosperity of the soul. That from the prosperity of the soul, the spirit, the soul, the body, the current, and the material will experience heaven's riches manifested in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you today as we pray even for our nations. We pray for the nation of America. We pray for the rulers in America, throughout the world. We pray for the rulers in South Africa and the continent of Africa. We bring all the rulers to you. We pray so that the church kingdom will lead a peaceable life, exalting the Prince of Peace, even Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, even as we continue today, we pray, be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear listener, this is your portion. This is your portion to know that together we can embrace what heaven has conceived for us. Now, I want to remind you that even as we began and continue in lifting the standard for the nations through this program of Destined for Glory, God is bringing us to the place of connecting the victory. Yes, victory of the knowledge of Jesus Christ by revelation. This is the umbrella mental scripture that I believe we are going to submit unto, because it's preparing us even for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do I say so? Because there will never be any other level, crowning level of knowing Jesus, save through the revelation of the Father. And you and I are here to embrace that in this season, so that in this season that we are living in the world we are living in, there will be hope for everyone that looks upon us, for the glory of Jesus Christ is being made manifest. We are living in the world that is stretched, that is strained from every angle. But we want you to know this, that in Jesus Christ, we have received the answer of even things to come. Why? The Word of God says in Hebrews 7 and 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means Jesus Christ is the only foundation and the only anchor that you and I can trust about our past, our present, and our future. He is the same yesterday, which means our yesterday can never condemn us. Why? Because when we look at our yesterday, now that we have received Jesus by revelation, we don't see our yesterday, we see Jesus, which means there is therefore now no condemnation for us, as the word says in Romans 8 and 1. How is it that there is therefore now no condemnation? There is no condemnation because there is nothing in our past that can condemn us. Yes, there That's what it means to you, dear listener, when you come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe the devil has been saying to you, you have done the worst things. You cannot amount to anything. Look at your background. Look at the things that you have done. Look at what you have done to your own self. Look at what you have done to other people. But when you receive Jesus Christ by the revelation of the Father, you receive the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means Jesus will bring an equalization, which the Bible calls the soberness of the mind. Why? Because he says in Timothy, we have not received the spirit of fear, but God has given us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now, that principle of the sound mind means we are given a balanced cognizance or a balanced perception, which means our past, our present, and our future is brought to the balance. And there is only one way that we can be balanced. It is through the one who is the balanced same yesterday, today, and forever. That's right. And therefore, when you look at your yesterday, when you receive Jesus, he washes your sins and my sins away. The Bible says in Psalm 103 that he separates from our sins as far as the east is from the west. And therefore, when you receive Jesus Christ, you come to the place where everything that defines you from the past now is defined in Jesus, is defined by Jesus. And everything that you go through right now has the standard lifted up for it, and that standard is Jesus Christ. And everything you may have to face in the future, now you can no longer face it with fear or doubt. No, you have the assurance that the same Jesus, he is even in the future. So Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus Christ is the balancing standard of the Father upon which we can anchor our lives. We can found our lives on a foundation that can never be removed. Remember, when we read again in Psalm 11 and verse 3, the Bible says, if the rushes or if the foundation be removed, what can the rushes do? If the foundation be removed, what can the righteous do? We can read it again in this way and say, if the foundation be a movable foundation, if the foundation be a shakable foundation, what can the rushes do? This means that if you and I are going to claim to have any righteousness before God, yet it is not on the solid foundation that is the same and that it cannot be moved yesterday, today, and forever, if it is not on that foundation, our righteousness will not amount for anything. So this is it. Jesus Christ is God's balancing standard for the past, the present, and the future. And that's why in him, our eternity past is settled, which means there is nothing even in the spirit, in the past, that can come to condemn us. Why? Remember his words to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. He said to him, before I formed you in my mother's womb, I knew you. That's right. And that goes for you, my dear listener, that before God formed you and I in our mother's womb, he knew us, which means he has set what I call the blueprint path for us, that if we want to refer and make reference of anything concerning our life in the past, it will never be limited to what was formed or how we were formed. No, but rather it will be covered by how God knew us before we were formed in our mother's womb. What does this mean? It means Jesus Christ, when he says he is the same yesterday, it means in the yesterday of our faith. It is the eternity past. It is in God. It is God pours himself into us. And when God pours himself into us, no any other formation can limit us. Which means it doesn't matter how you were born. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter how you were conceived. Some children are called illegitimate children. Some children are called rape children or abused children. But I want you to know you are not limited to the definition of your formation. No, you are rather founded on God's original blueprint path, which is in the eternity path, which means there is an unlimitable character and unlimitable identity for you and me in Christ Jesus, in God through Christ Jesus. When we connect that, then we know that God has positioned us to overcome every limitation and every formation that could limit us. So remember that therefore, when we are now in Christ, we have become new creation. And today I want us to highlight and connect that now as children of God, we have been brought to a place where our inheritance, listen carefully now, our inheritance is God Himself. Our inheritance is God. We are called to inherit God. And therefore, we are going to look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. You know it by heart, some of us, even as we mention it. It says here, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. And then he says, behold, all things are become new. Now all things are of God. And then he says, who has reconciled us to himself and given us the ministry of reconciliation. It says, God has reconciled us to himself. And therefore we know that in Christ Jesus, we are heirs of God to inherit all things from God. And that's why then Paul says to the Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 19, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the question is, which all things are we talking about? It is the all things that are of God. It means whatever I might ever need, it is in God. And how do I access it? By receiving my new nature in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and he says, behold, everything has become new. So it's my prayer that you and I will connect right now our inheritance in God and know that God has positioned us to walk differently in this world, differently in the midst of the sufferings of this world. God has conditioned and positioned us that we will walk in the inheritance of heaven, the inheritance of who He, God, is. Now, maybe you might be asking yourself, what is this inheritance story? Remember, we are receiving the covering embrace that we receive victory through the revelation of Jesus Christ from the Father. Why? Remember when Jesus received the answer from Peter about who Jesus is. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' answer was, you are blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah. Why? Because not flesh and blood revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So our inheritance, therefore, ultimately becomes knowing God or knowing Jesus Christ by revelation in order to receive our inheritance in God. So let's look at the scripture that will line us up in this, because revelation comes by the Spirit of God. Listen, this is not about our minds. This is not about our articulation of the word. It's not about the words of men. Paul says, I did not come to you with the eloquence of speech, but I've come with the demonstration of the power. The demonstration of the power is what the Spirit of God releases and reveals by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So when we read in Romans chapter 8, look at Romans chapter 8, the word of God then says to us here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8 and verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then he goes on, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Know that we have now received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Why Abba, Father? Because the revelation of Jesus Christ comes from the Father. It doesn't come from our flesh. It doesn't come from our intellect. It doesn't come from our material things. It doesn't come from our associations. It doesn't come from our religious affiliations. No, it comes from the relationship, the covenant of relationship of the Father, Abba, Father. We receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, which means through Jesus Christ, we've been adopted into the covenant family of God, the kingdom covenant family of God, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. Yes, that's why the victory of the knowledge of Jesus Christ is to know him by revelation, because revelation is by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God will lead you and I in our sonship walk as we receive Jesus Christ as the only Son of God. He is the Son of the living God, the Christ, the Messiah, even as Peter answered when Jesus asked the question. Let's go forward. Then he says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Yes, this is critical to the revelatory knowledge of Jesus Christ. Why do we need to know him by revelation? So that our spirit will bear witness with the Spirit of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. When we have received Jesus Christ by revelation from the Father, when we have declared, confessed with our mouth, according to Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And that confession is a confession that declares us to be children of God, sons of God. And this is the working of the Spirit of God who brings Jesus' revelation in our life. And then he says here, and if we be children, then we are heirs, heirs of God. And I'm coming to that. Let's go back again to the very verse. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Listen. When he says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, it means the Holy Spirit gives us the confidence. Yes, there is a possibility to walk in confidence. Even right now, wherever you may be, whatever you might be facing, the enemy might be saying to you, are you really saved? Are you confident, some of us, in the call of God? The enemy might be trying to say to you, are you really called of God? Maybe because of the things that you are going through. Listen, this is the time to go beyond every measure of this world. This is the time to go beyond what eye has seen, what ear has heard, what emotions and the heart have felt, and reach out to the things that are revealed by the Spirit of God. For 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it gone into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. But it says, but to us, oh, to us. To us, they are revealed by the Spirit of God. For the Spirit searches, listen again, all things. What are all things? All things are those, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things are of God. All things are those that come from God. The Spirit searches all things. And then he continues to say, 1 Corinthians 2, and he concludes by saying, he searches all things. And he says, yes, the deep things of God. Are we hearing this now? Listen, this is your portion. We need the revelatory knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is the victory that will overcome every doubt, every lack of confidence, every doubtful perpetuation by the things that are in the world. Now you can look above the things that are in the world, like the children of Israel before the wall of Jericho. You can lift up the eyes to what God is saying and what God has said, and not see what you see, but see what God says. And only the Spirit of God by revelation will give it to us to know that we have confidence. We have confidence. So don't let the devil doubt, make you doubt that when you give your life to Jesus, you might falter, you might fall away. No, the grace of God will keep you. The grace of God is able to teach you to live a godly life away from the lust of this world. The Word of God says it in Titus chapter 2. When we read Titus chapter 2, the Bible then says to us, the grace of God in verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation is revealed unto all men. And then it says, the same grace teaches us that we can live a holy life away from the lust of this world, a godly life away from the lust of this world. In this present life, we can live. So this is your confidence. So he says here as we conclude, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. This is the critical part, because we cannot continue with this, knowing that we are called to inherit God. Now listen, he says, if children, then we are heirs. Now heirs, or the place of inheritance, heirs means that we are positioned for inheritance, which means we have been received into sonship in order for us to qualify for our inheritance. Now the question is, what is this inheritance? He goes on to say, heirs of God. So then, heirs of God. It doesn't mean we are receiving from God. No, no, no. He says heirs of God. What does the word heirs mean? It means inheritance. Inheritance of God. Yes, we are called to inherit. I know this is scary to the mind, and I know the devil might fight and make you doubt it, but listen to it as it comes fresh from the Word of God. We are made to be heirs of God, inheritors of God, which means we can walk this world knowing that just as he is, yes, according to 1 John chapter 4, just as he is in heaven, so are we in this world. Just as Jesus is, so are we in this world. How are we, or how is he in heaven? He is in heaven, victorious, confident, healed, and beyond every limitation of our formations here on earth. And God is saying, by the Spirit of revelation, you and I can connect our inheritance of how Jesus is, for he is God in God, and therefore we can inherit how he is. And as we inherit how God is, we can manifest, therefore, his glory in the earth. This is where we are. This is what we are called to be. And then he says, therefore, if children, we are heirs, heirs of God. And God is like looking at the minds of many who might ask, how so? How do we become an heir of God? He says, we are joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. And then he concludes by saying, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Why? Because Jesus right now is in his glorified state. And therefore, if we right now choose the foolishness to the mind of receiving him by revelation, of receiving him by faith, we are then positioned to be glorified with him as joint heirs with Christ. Listen, your inheritance is God, which means you receive God as your inheritance. That's why when we receive Jesus, we are receiving God. For in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is God who we receive in Jesus Christ. He becomes, and he becomes our inheritance. And therefore, listen, when you receive Jesus Christ by revelation, you receive the victorious living of knowing that you are an heir of God. Stand strong, for you are destined for this glorious position. God richly bless you as you continue to witness for Jesus Christ. We meet again in our next program. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.